Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. And this is our third lesson in Daniel chapter 9. As we've said on several occasions, this is really the heart of the book and the backbone of all other prophecy, because it gives us precisely some dates that we know things happened and are going to happen. Now, this prophecy is all, there are 70 weeks, and there are 77s, the word is. It's not really the word week, it's 77s. And so the Jews had, they had weeks of days, they had weeks of years, and they understood that in their kind of figuring their calendars. Matter of fact, they were just finishing up 70 years of captivity, because every seventh year, the Jewish people, according to the law, were supposed to not plant anything and lay by, let everything lie dormant. Every seventh year, they had not done that for 490 years they had been in the land. They did not do it ever. And so God sent them into captivity for 70 years, which was the number of years that they had misused his seventh year, so that the land had rest for 70 years, like God had planned for it to have. He had to send them into captivity to get accomplished the thing that he had told them they should do, and they were to do according to the law. And so they understood this matter of seven sevens and 77s here. So we have then seven sevens, or 490 years that are to fulfill all the things concerning the Jewish people. Let's read beginning in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, you see what it's upon the Jewish people and it's upon the city, Jerusalem. Those two things are always tied together. We've been studying the book of Isaiah in our Sunday school now for some time. And over, it ties those two together. The blessings of God upon the people, the blessings of God upon the city and the land, Jerusalem. And so 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, these things are to be accomplished in this time. Now, actually, none of these are accomplished yet. These were things to be accomplished. They haven't been accomplished yet. They will be accomplished at the close of the 70th week of years, 7 years, that's still to come in this 70 years. Now notice, it was to finish the transgression, that is to end their sinning, and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, Christ made reconciliation by dying on the cross, but they haven't accepted it yet. So that's still to be done. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, that is to close off visions and prophecy. Now remember, signs were for Israel. Signs never have been for the church. Even the signs in the Corinthian church and in the early church of this church age, the signs were not for the Gentiles. The signs were for the Jews. It says that very plainly in 1 Corinthians 14, that the signs were for the Jews. And so this completing of signs, sealing up prophecy, vision and prophecy. In other words, there will be no more visions or prophecy after this 70 years are complete. They won't need them because Christ will be with them in their midst and ruling. And to anoint, says in the King James, the Most Holy. Now, that's not a correct translation. It is to anoint a Holy of Holies, or the Holy of Holies. In other words, there will be a new Holy of Holies in the new temple, in the millennial temple, and that has to be anointed. And of course, that will not be anointed until the beginning, until the King is here. very much as Solomon anointed that first temple, you remember, and how God visited and the Shekinah glory came down upon it and so forth. Well, there will be the anointing of the temple, the Holy of Holies, at that time. So these six things are things that will be accomplished in this period of time. As we said now, the only ones that have been accomplished is the fact that sin's been paid for, but it has not been accepted. They have not accepted the Messiah as a people, as a nation. So all of these things, though, will be completed by the end of these 70 years. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now we'll come back and break this down after we read it. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall conform the covenant with many for 1 week, that is, the Prince that shall come, this is the Antichrist. And in the midst of the week, at the halfway point, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured, and it says here in the King James, shall be poured upon the desolate. But the meaning is this, it shall be poured upon the one who makes desolate. In other words, that's when he gets his, at the close of it. The one who has caused all this problem and brought all this trouble upon Jerusalem, then at the close of it, the desolation will be poured upon him. Now, we've said this, that these are weeks of years. These 70 weeks are weeks of years, are 7 times 70, which is 490 years. Now, that's the amount of time, beginning with the time that he said when they go forth to rebuild Jerusalem, beginning with that command to rebuild Jerusalem, from that point, 490 years, and all will be accomplished as far as Israel is concerned. Now, 69 of the 70 years has already been completed, or 483 of the 490 years have already transpired in the past. So all that's left is the 7 years of the tribulation period. Now let's look at this, and we want to divide this up. There are 3 divisions of the 70 weeks. First, there is 7 weeks. Notice now in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now you have 2 periods here. You have 7 weeks and then you have 62 weeks, which of course makes 69 weeks. All right? Now, the events that will take place during the 7 weeks are then listed. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, this is the first rebuilding, or the rebuilding in Nehemiah's time. Now, we're not going to go into all this, but there are 3 different commands that had been given to Jews. And this is why a lot of folks have gotten this thing confused, is if you take the wrong command, then you can't figure it. The days don't come out right. The years don't come out right. And so the first command was, of course, when Cyrus gave the command to go back to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel went, and then later Ezra went. There were 2 different commands there. And then finally, turn with me to Nehemiah, and we'll see the one. Now, let me say this, though. If you read some men concerning this time, you get confused because they picked the wrong date. Notice what it says in verse 25, the first part of the verse. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, when was that command given? That's the point. Well, under Cyrus, there was not a command to build Jerusalem. That was a command to establish the temple, build the temple. And then when Ezra went, his was not a command to build Jerusalem. It was a command to establish worship at the temple. Now, turn to Nehemiah, the second chapter, and we'll see here that in this case, we find the time. Now, we're reading beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. And so we know precisely when this started. And we'll give you that a little more in our calendar in just a minute. Wine was before the king. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. He was the cupbearer. Now, in other words, he was such a trusted person till before the king drank wine, he had to sip it to show to the king that it was not poisonous. And that was only a very trusted person who was allowed. Everybody was always trying to knock the king off. And so he had to protect himself in ways, and this is one of the ways he did. He had a cupbearer, somebody who was responsible for the purity of what he ate and what he drank. And so the wine was before him, and so he set the wine before him. And now I had not been before time sad in his presence. That's pretty much of a testimony. And I don't know how many years he'd been there, but this is the first time he'd ever looked sad. I guess he had a good self-image instructor, had a good course in psychology, and those kind of things to help him along, poor fella, you know. Isn't it sad the kind of things that people have to do today to pick themselves up? Well, anyway, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. He had hoped the king wouldn't recognize this. He wasn't going in there putting on a sour face to get the king's attention. He wasn't doing this to get the king's attention. He couldn't help it. He had such a burden. If you read the first chapter, you'll see why. He had such a burden for Jerusalem and for the people there because they were in such reproach. And so, verse 3, and I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Now notice what he identifies as the problem. The city lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what doth thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. That's always the combination you need when you got to talk to the authorities, is pray to God and do the talking to them, but let the Lord work in their hearts. I said to the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. All right? Notice very precisely, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. And then it goes on to say, you know, the king gave him letters and instructions and so forth. But the point is this, that this is the command to build Jerusalem. And that's what the angel Gabriel told Daniel that it would be. It would be from that time that the time would start counting. Now, so that date was March the 14th, 445 B.C. If you get out your old Hebrew calendars or something, you can look that up. But that's what the dates that we read in Nehemiah speak of. That's what they translate into. It was March the 14th, 445 B.C. So that's the time that starts the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, It says the city would be rebuilt in troublous times, and they had troublous times. Remember all the troubles that Nehemiah had then. Sanballat and Tobiah were not happy that somebody had come and cared for the people, the Jews and the city, and so he gave them a very troublous times. Now, the second period is 62 weeks or 434 years. And this would end with the cutting off or death of Messiah. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Better translation, and he should have nothing. In other words, he had no identification, no wealth, no nothing. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he was cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince. Now then it goes on to talk about the people of the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, of course, this destruction took place in 70 A.D., following the cutting off of Messiah. Now, I want you to get your charts there, especially the one, we'll look at the one I gave you tonight first, because it has some calendar dates and things on here that is remarkable. You know, the critics of the Bible, a thing like this blows their mind. And I want to say this, too, that Sir Robert Anderson is the one given credit for working out this formula that we have here. There had been much confusion about this. Other men had tried to figure this from the first command when Cyrus gave the command and released them from the 70 years captivity, thinking that that was the date. And that had generally been thought to be the date. But it just wouldn't work in calendar days. So Sir Robert Anderson, who is, I guess, my favorite character of the past. He was not an ordained minister. He was a director of Scotland Yard. And yet he was the outstanding mind of his time. And since then, too. And it's interesting, you read, this chart was by MacLean, who did a small book on the 70 weeks of Daniel, and he gives full credit to Sir Robert Anderson. The other chart I have there is by Gabelein, and he go down there and he gives all the credit to Sir Robert Anderson. He's the one worked out all these things to show the date. So here are the 70 weeks then broken down. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, there were 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which we've already talked about. Now, this would amount to 69 times 7 times 360. Now, you see, the Jewish calendar, the prophetic calendar, was 360 days. And that's established all through the scripture. I'm not an authority on all the places and so forth of that, but 360 days is the day of the Jewish calendar. It really makes no difference. It works either way, and we'll see that. So from March the 14th, 445, that was the day that Nehemiah got his command to go and rebuild the city. From there, plus this 173,880 days equals April the 6th, 32 A.D., which is precisely the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the colt, the foal of an ass, and offered himself as the king. We're going to look at some of that scripture in just a minute. Now, down at the bottom, you see it says proof. Now, here's how it works with our calendar, 365 days. B.C. 45 to A.D. 32 is 476 years. The reason it's 476 is that, instead of 477, is that B.C. 1 to A.D. 1 is only 1 year. In other words, you don't have a 0 year. You jump from B.C. 1, and the next year it's A.D. 1, see? And so that cuts that down to 476. Now, 476 times 365 days is 173,740 days. Now, you have to add 116 days for leap year. There are 116 leap years in that period of time. So that's adds 116. Now, from March the 14th to April the 6th is 24 days. So that totals 173,880 days, the same as you have under the Jewish calendar. So see, the number of days is what's important, because years can be shorter or longer depending on which ones you're figuring by. But if your days come out right, then it's obvious that's proof that both of them are accurate. And so this is the first 62 days. Now turn to Luke chapter 19, and let's read just a little bit about that day. Now, As I said, I'm not an authority on these, certainly on the dates and the chronology and all those things, but I was reading Gabelein, I believe it was, and he said that this date is one of the best established dates in history as to when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem, because it was in the 13th year of Tiberius, and we know when Tiberius came and what he said, the reference and so forth, but it said this is a well-established date as far as when he came in. So let's read beginning in verse 28 of Luke 19. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, now remember that Jesus up to this point had always said to his disciples, don't tell people who I am. He'd healed somebody and say, don't tell them who healed you. He was not trying to promote himself or push himself. But there's a change from this point on. He tells the disciples, he tells the people who he is, and so forth, from the moment he presented himself as the king. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering in ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. Now, the ass's colt was the steed of royalty. Kings rode upon him. And so he's offering himself here as king. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, by the way, that leads right into the east gate, into the temple area. And that's the way the king will come. When he comes back, he'll touch down on the Mount of Olives, and when he comes back the next time. And that's where he went up from. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now, you see, this the Spirit came upon them. This was a momentous day and occasion. And so they began saying, this is what they said, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. See, this was the day. If they had, the Jews could have known this day. They could have figured 69 weeks. They knew the dates. They had the chronology. They knew when Messiah would be cut off according to Scripture. All they'd had to done was study the book of Daniel, and they would have known that this was the Messiah, and this day was the actual completion of that 62 weeks that was there of the second section of them, the 69th week there. Fulfilled precisely to the very day. God is accurate. He doesn't fool around with, with perhapses and maybes and within a year or two or such and such time, so forth. Everything works right out in detail. And so then he wept over Jerusalem, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, now get this, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. See? This was their day. And of course, it was immediately following this that he was crucified that same week. So this is the time that the completion of the... this is the rejection. The cross followed this, but this is the official rejection day. The day that he rode into town and was rejected. He went into the temple, turned over the money changers, showed his authority as the king. Showed the kind of attitude he's going to have when he comes back and sets up righteousness, you see, as he did that day. All right, so now what we have then is the completion here of the 62-week section, which makes now a total of 69 consecutive week years, sevens, that have taken place, are 483 years to this point past. Now, as we said in 70 AD, the city was destroyed. That's what he said in 26b, verse 26b of Daniel 9. And the city, the end thereof, shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So that was actually done, instigated by the prince that should come, Antichrist. But now in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week of Daniel, which is yet future. Even today, it's yet future. And in the midst of the week, that is 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So Antichrist makes a covenant with the many. Now, what's that opposed to? What's the opposite of the many? The few, the remnant. Right. See? So all those who are not the remnant gather to the Antichrist of the Jews, you see, at the beginning of this 70th week, which is, this week is the great tribulation, or the tribulation in the last half is the great tribulation. All right? So he makes a covenant with them. And he promises to them peace and prosperity, protection of their borders, the kind of things that Israel's looking for today. They're not wanting to fight. They're not wanting to have war. They're wanting to have peace and every man sit under his vine, every man under his fig tree, according to the promises. And this, he's going to offer them that. He's going to tell them that. He's going to tell them he's the Messiah. And they're going to accept him as such and sign a peace treaty with him. Then after 3.5 years, he breaks that treaty, and the slaughter begins. Notice that he causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The temple has been rebuilt, so he allows them to rebuild the temple, and they're sacrificing again. And then we have here listed the abominations, the latter part of verse 27, and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. If you see, if you have a Scopia Bible, he has a note down there and says, the expression occurs 3 times in Daniel. The other 2 references, reference to the beast, the man of sin, and his identification in Matthew 24. And in Daniel 11, we're going to see, when we get there, the reference is to the act of Antiochus Epiphanes, the prototype of the man of sin, who sacrificed a sow upon the altar and entered the Holy of Holies. So, and by the way, if you turn back to our study, we are in Isaiah 65, and verse beginning of verse 2 of that chapter, Isaiah speaking, the Lord speaking here, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. They not stones, uncut stones and all as the altars were supposed to be and so forth. Now get this, verse 4, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments and eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Now, you say, how in the world could Jewish people do that? Well, because they're going to follow Antichrist, and they're going to be those that go along with this. There'll be many of the prosperous Jews and so forth that will go along with these abominations that will take place in desecration of the temple. But the Jews who recognize this will be one of the things I think that causes the 144,000 to wake up and to see that this is not the Messiah. Of course, maybe they've already been identified because they didn't make the covenant with him to begin with. I don't know just the extent of that, but anyway, that seems to indicate that. Now, God said in Isaiah 65:6, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into your bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. All right, so this is the 70th week. Now, you see, the 69th week ended with the cutting off of Messiah, his crucifixion. The Jews rejected Christ. They rejected the Holy Spirit and his ministry in the early chapters of Acts. And God set up the church. And something that was not a part of Old Testament prophecy, God has been doing now for some 2,000 years almost, which we call the church age. This is sometimes called a prophetic parenthesis. In other words, the 70 weeks are broken by this long period, which, as I said, was not a part of Old Testament prophecy. It was the mystery, secret. Only the mystery is not a secret that cannot be known, but one that is withheld from being told until the proper time. And so we are in that period of time. As soon as the rapture comes, what's the go-ahead to finish the 70th week? The rapture. As soon as the church is taken out, when the church apostatizes, and brother, I think it's there, you can't say the rapture's near unless you say we have apostatized. You know, it's amazing to me. Some folks want to say, well, we really are not that deep into the apostasy, or we really are not in the full apostasy, and yet they're saying the Lord might come tomorrow. You can't have it both. If the Lord's going to come tomorrow, it's because apostasy has eaten the church, has consumed it, and we have nothing but religion, and a few, the remnant, see, the body of Christ, which will be taken out. And then the 70th week begins, and the prince that shall come will come. You can look up these scriptures in Revelation here that are listed, Revelation 6:2 and Revelation 19:11. Messiah returns with power. And this period of time is called, Revelation 11:1 is called 1260 days, 142 months, but both of them are 3.5 years. So it's the same thing. Sometimes the scripture refers to it as days, sometime in months, and sometime in years. Or in years it says a time and times and a half a time. Time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a half a time is a half a year. That's 3.5 years. So it's all the same. And then these things that are listed here, finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, anoint a most holy place, and then following that, he must reign, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Glorious day that's going to be. Now, the other chart that we had gives you some information. It's set up a little differently. It shows you the 7 weeks, then the 62 weeks of 434 years and the things that transpired. Only Gabeline has the end of the 69th week, April the 10th. I don't know what the difference is there, but I know the one that McLean has is the one that Sir Robert Anderson had in his book, The Coming Prince, and also in Daniel in the Critic's Den. Both those books had that information in it. And then you have this section here. It says the Great Unreckoned Period. That's the church age. And then, of course, the last week and the things that take place during that time. Okay, well, I hope that you'll take these and you'll think about these things, and maybe they'll be helpful in future study. But prophecy is such an amazing thing, such an accurate thing, and it's wonderful to believe the Bible.